Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, what is it that really makes Australia so Australian? Is it barbecues, Holden Utes, B&S balls? Is it mateship? Is it she'll be right? Some of those familiar icons and phrases have actually made their way into a new book called Australian Greats. Now, it's not all Vegemite and Skippy. It also explores a whole range of significant and even sometimes surprising moments in Australia's political and cultural history. Historian Peter Cochran is the editor of the book and he's with us now. Peter, welcome to Open House.
Thanks, Sheridan. It's good to be here.
53 people, places and traditions of Australia's cultural landscape. Was it hard actually narrowing it down to 53?
We actually quite a few more than that. It was it was easy to get up to something like about 80. Mm. But of course, when you're trying to put together a project like this, you're looking at a team of writers. You know, when you're talking about big numbers, and a lot of them are going to have major projects. Some are going to be away. So there's a sort of serendipity element, and that's what we ended up with. And it wasn't really very hard. I think the hard thing was, what do you leave out? Because As you just said, there is a sort of a lighter side to the book. We could have had Vegemite, but we didn't.
Yes.
We could have had
airplane jelly.
We didn't. We could have had airplane jelly. On the other hand, the book is really nicely balanced. I mean, there is some of that lighter stuff. We've got a really lovely chapter by Maggie Beer on the meat pie, which she's in less than 1,000 words will convince you. You know, it really does have an important, fascinating, and very diverse history. But we've also got we've got little chapters on literature, music, people from science, sport, politics, public service, popular culture, exploration, broadcasting. We've got broadcasting, fashion, cuisine, so on, language.
Well, the language was interesting, wasn't it? Because the way that we as Aussies shorten words and give people nicknames and coin phrases like a sandwich short of a picnic, it really is quite unique to us, isn't it? Well, our particular slant on it is.
It is. And because we're a nation of immigrants, of course, a lot of languages come in here, but emphasising the way that it's been adapted and put to our own unique purposes.
You've got a chapter there about Speedos.
Speedos, certainly iconic in Australia, and they fit it into our project in the sense that, in a number of ways, they're at a kind of intersection of all sorts of greatness. I mean, there was the actual inventor, whose name just now slips my mind, who really did establish a very important industry in Australia. He did it very close to Bondi Beach, and so Speedos and Bondi became important in that kind of advertising iconic way and in establishing almost a pictorial image, beach image of what Australia was. And of course it's gone on. It's become much more than just beach. It's what, you know, the Olympic swimmers wear and all that sort of thing. So I'm very high scientific side to it now.
Yes.
One of the problems was, how do you, you know, if, let's say you've got 50, or if you even had 100 chapters, space for 100 chapters, how do you reduce it to that? You can easily get out well beyond 100, I can tell you. So it's a very condensed little book.
What didn't make it in that was very close to making it in for you?
Well, if I had my file here, I could talk forever, but the one that comes to mind is Maccabi Diva. I wanted something on racing, but I didn't want Farlap. I just thought, look, you know, Farlap's been, with all due respect to the grand old galloper, he's been done to death.
Yes.
And Maccabi Diva, there is some horsey people apparently will tell you that she is the greatest Australian stayer of all time. No other horse has won 3 Melbourne Cups in a row. We were really trying hard to get someone to write about that, but we couldn't. Again, it was one of those problems of the people we wanted just weren't, you know, able to do it at the time. And I mean, it's quite a balancing act to get 51 authors together.
Yes, absolutely.
And then, as somebody said to me, and then to edit them, it's a bit like herding cats.
That's a lovely metaphor.
Well, actually, that was said to me very early in the process, and I thought, what have I got myself into? But it did turn out to be a really enjoyable project, and we had chapters come in, I won't name names, we had chapters come in that were just perfect. And so, you know, they were just so beautiful, there was not a thing to do.
Yes.
And I sort of sat back and thought, oh, this is very nice. Others, you think, well, you know, I've got some views on this, and you strike up a conversation. And it wasn't herding cats, it was dealing with a lot of people who were really committed to the project and really happy to sort of, you know, toss our ideas around and give a bit and take a bit.
Peter Cochran is a historian and author of Australian Greats, or perhaps editor is the better word. There's so many other authors that are actually involved in all of these 53 chapters that you've got here.
Yes.
You were talking before about you didn't want to put Farlap into what makes kind of Australian Great because it's been done to death. Now, therein lies a big question. So much, and I wonder if this is also part of our very Australianness. Australianism can be caricatured. You know, we can actually grab things and say, this is iconic Australia.
Yeah.
It might be Farlap. It might be the larrikin. It might be the bronzed Aussie. Maybe the horseback hero. Actually, the majority of people in Australia live in big cities. It's not so much the country thing. What things do you think maybe have become those caricatured icons of Australia that maybe don't really resonate with us, with who we actually are today?
Yes, well, of course, there's a debate at the moment about whether Gallipoli is really, you know, Paul Keating started
just recently,
but whether Gallipoli really should be the sort of iconic military moment we remember, and there's a whole set of historical arguments for and against that. There's also the point, I think, that some of the icons that you just mentioned are just too lightweight to really represent, you know, Australian achievement in its full sense, whether it's Vegemite or Farlap or whatever. I mean, we have a chapter, for example, in here by Barry Jones. It's a really fine piece written quite passionately, arguing that, you know, it's quite a national shame. I think that's the phrase he uses, that Macfarlane Burnet, our greatest scientist, is known to virtually no one these days.
Yes, I wouldn't know the name either.
Yeah, well, Macfarlane Burnet, I'm just looking at the chapter now, between 1924 and 1983, he published 528 papers across a range of projects within the scientific framework, and his achievements were just extraordinary in the areas of polio and influenza, and also other work on acquired immunological tolerance. You know, I mean, he was mentor to Gus Nossal, who some of us have heard about, of course. But Burnet, Barry Jones says, is our greatest scientist. Now, I just think that in some ways, a book like this can be very entertaining, but also it can have these pivotal chapters in it that really do confront people with the question, you know, what should we really value in this country? And whilst not for a minute, Sheridan, would I want to run down Vegemite, it really is important, I think, to have a sort of book that raises the questions about what has really mattered. Alongside the lighter ones. And some of them are a mix of both. You may have noticed that the first chapter, the lead-off chapter, is on Kelpies, dogs.
Yes.
Now, I mean, it is actually arguable that the wool boom of the late 19th century that in many ways made this country, and it was certainly the wealth from the wool boom that established our major cities, could not have been achieved without the Kelpie because of the man-hours that the Kelpie saved. And, of course, the Kelpie worked for nothing or next to nothing. There's actually a serious economic argument as a part of our economic history in terms of labour hours put in and results achieved so far as moving sheep, millions and millions and millions of sheep is concerned.
You've got a chapter in there by Thomas Keneally on mateship.
Yeah, look, that is an absolute gem.
Well, I'm sure that's probably the one that you were alluding to before that you didn't even have to edit.
It was one of them. Yes, you're absolutely right. I just won't mention all the others. It's interesting because he is able to make it a genuinely entertaining and at certain moments amusing, very amusing. There's some lovely lines in a chapter, but at the same time, Tom is well aware of the way that mateship has brought a lot of men together and has that excluding side.
That's right. He mentions the negative side, and I was going to mention that
yes,
it can create the Cronulla riots.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the ugly side of mateship is something that he hasn't overlooked, and yet at the same time, he's been able to write this chapter that I think is beautifully balanced and also beautifully worded.
Mm. If there was a favourite chapter for you in the whole of the book that you have called Australian Greats, what would you say it is?
Well, I've already mentioned Kelpies. I just thought that was absolutely fantastic. So I'll have to find you another one. Possibly Tom's. Julie Rigg too wrote a lovely. There's a little chapter there on film in which we've singled out the sentimental bloke. I think I might just about put my number one tag next to that one. It's a really charming discussion of the bloke and the gal he's chasing.
So in pulling this book together, you personally, what have you then kind of drawn personally out of the experience when it comes to defining what makes us Australian?
Oh, gosh. That is a really, a really, really tricky question. I mean, I being a historian, I guess, as I said before, I tend to do it historically. I've thought long and hard about the way that we have inherited European traditions and adapted them to our own ends, traditions that range from Charles Darwin across to Shakespeare. And out of that inheritance, notwithstanding our very, very difficult origins, we've been able to achieve some great things right across the board in all those subject headings that I mentioned before. So I think that resourcefulness in tough times is one of the one of the outstanding features that Australians seem to have, that against the grain we can come up with the sort of things we've come up with. Which is not wanting to say that that there are all sorts of problems along the way. Or for that matter, a slightly darker side of the story, as we referred to when we were talking about mateship before. Mm. But I think out of that, I think making the best out of that very limited beginnings is, or making the best out of limited beginnings is something that Australians seem to be very, very good at.
Yes. Well, it's been good to talk to you. Hopefully we can explore a little bit further what indeed Australia means to each one of us. And I think your book will help us think that through. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Sheridan.
Writer and historian Peter Cochrane there, General Editor of Australian Greats. Nice to see that there's some significant attention given to Indigenous Australia in that as well. Australian Greats, it is called.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.